Will state lawmakers in Ohio and Indiana redraw their congressional maps to benefit the Republican Party? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss President Trump's national redistricting push and the role Ohio and Indiana could play are Signal Ohio reporter Andrew Tobias and Indiana Public Broadcasting State House Bureau Chief Brandon Smith. Welcome back to you both.
Great to be here.
Thanks.
Andrew, why are we here so soon in Ohio with redistricting, I mean?
Yeah, unlike a lot of the other states where it is, I guess, procedurally highly unusual to be redistricting mid-decade, in Ohio, the rules specifically lay out two different tracks for how long a congressional map will stay into effect. The kind of, I guess, default option is 10 years, which is traditional, but doing that in Ohio requires, under the rules we have, bipartisan agreement. That did not happen in 2022 when these maps were approved. It was a really messy process, but they were approved. And so that means that they only lasted for 4 years. And so as a result of that, we're now getting ready to redraw the congressional maps again.
Okay. And Brandon, is this more unusual in Indiana that folks are talking about redistricting already?
Considerably. As far as we're aware, there is no precedent for this in Indiana, as is the case in a lot of states across the country that have been looking at this recently. This is, at the Indiana level, this is purely politically motivated, as Republicans want to try and protect or gain more seats in the U.S. House of Representatives.
Well, and redistricting is a big agenda item for President Trump. Some Democratic governors, of course, are pushing for early redistricting to push back against the president's efforts. Brandon, talk to us a little bit about the national landscape. Where does what's happening in Indiana fit into it? What are we seeing nationally?
Yeah, well, the conversation in Indiana didn't really begin in earnest until we saw sort of the domino effect start to happen at the national level. So that began with President Trump urging Texas lawmakers to redraw the congressional map there to try and pick up as many as potentially 5 seats for Republicans that have been held by Democrats recently. That spurred California Governor Gavin Newsom to go, okay, well, if you're going to do that, then we're going to do that here in democratically controlled California. There's a different process for that where he has to go to the voters in November on a sort of referendum to ask to do that, to basically get them to approve the maps, unlike in Texas where they just passed those maps and they were signed into law by the governor. That spurred the Trump administration to start reaching out to Republican supermajority states in particular, where Democrats really couldn't put up much of a fight. And Indiana being one of those, Vice President J.D. Vance traveled to Indiana to meet with the governor and Republican legislative leaders in late July. And while they insist it wasn't the only thing they talked about, redistricting did come up. And then Republican state lawmakers were invited out to the White House last month to visit. And again, kind of they all said, oh, well, we talked about a lot of things. But yes, redistricting came up, and some Republican lawmakers have said, like, the conversations they've been having, including those at the White House, have changed their views in some cases to make them supporters of this redistricting effort, while others were sort of, you know, maybe not opposed to it, but needed to be convinced a little more, and those conversations have been making an impact.
Andrew, Brandon just mentioned that the president and his team have been having conversations, especially with leaders of states where there are Republican supermajorities. That certainly would include Ohio. But Democratic lawmakers in Ohio did unveil some redistricting maps earlier this month. How are their maps different from what's in place now?
So the basic way to think about the maps here in Ohio, or the map, I guess there's just one of them, is that 10 of them are held by Republicans, and or 10 districts are held by Republicans, and 5 districts are held by Democrats. 2 of those Democratic-held districts are more like toss-up seats, but the map that the Democrats proposed would basically create 8 Republican districts and 7 Democratic districts, with some of those Democratic districts being very close. So essentially, it would cause 2 incumbent Republicans to very likely face, the prospects of losing their seats. So it would make Ohio just a little bit more Democratic than what we have right now in total.
And Andrew, how did Democratic lawmakers explain those proposed changes?
So the way they view it, and I think it's important to say that I think both parties in this process are going to just do whatever they can to kind of tailor their arguments around getting more seats for their party, or at least giving their party more of a chance. But their rationale is that, generally speaking, Ohio elections have gone something like 54-55% Republican versus 45% Democratic over the last decade or so. And so they say that an 8-7 split essentially reflects that. I mean, I think 8 of 15 is actually 53.3%, but, you know, who's splitting hairs about that? But they basically think that it reflects the Ohio's political makeup.
What are the chances those maps could be adopted, Andrew, or that map that the Democrats proposed?
One of the reporters in the press conference asked whether Democrats thought they had a better chance of winning the Powerball lottery versus getting these maps passed into law. And I'd probably take the Powerball if I were to have to make a bet on that.
Well, that tells you. We did get an email from Nicholas who asks about the first congressional district in this plan that you think Republicans could be considering. Do you think that U.S. Congressman Greg Landsman district could be redrawn?
So I think that's really one of the big questions of whatever it is that Republicans eventually are going to do, because they will be able to pass a map along straight party lines. So the kind of shorthand talk about this is whether Republicans want to try to get 12 Republican districts of 15 or 13 Republican districts of 15. Getting to the 13th Republican district would require them doing some really creative things to Representative Landsman's district. There was a unsanctioned map that was floating around, and a lot of high-level national Republicans were talking about it a few months ago, which saw Cincinnati basically connected in the same district to around, if not exactly, Portsmouth, which is the very southern tip of Ohio. One Republican kind of joked they called it the sliver on the river. So it'll be interesting to see if they try to go full-bore maximalist for something like that. At this time, I think it's probably unlikely, but it's really hard to tell until we actually see a proposal come out.
Wasn't there a district near Cleveland called the Snake on the Lake, or the Snake by the Lake? Is that kind of a reference to that?
It is. Yeah, they're very clever about these rhyming things.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Brandon, we talked with you in August about redistricting in Indiana, not long after that visit from Vice President J.D. Vance. At that point, it didn't seem clear whether the governor or lawmakers there would support redrawing the state's congressional map. Where do things stand now?
It's become a lot more clear since then. I would put the chances of them redrawing the congressional map at roughly 99%. I want to leave a little wiggle room in case something happens. But there's been momentum growing, in part because of what I already talked about, the pressure from the White House and national Republicans. I think lawmakers are being very deliberative about it. They want to make sure everybody, that they have all of the votes necessary to really like go in with absolute confidence that they can go in, pass the map without any problems. I think they'll get there. Governor Mike Braun went on radio in Fort Wayne earlier this week and was asked about redistricting. And he's really been sort of noncommittal up till now, saying like, you know, I'm going to let legislative leaders take the lead. I'm not going to call a special session until they tell me that, you know, we're 100% locked in and ready to go. He's expressed some support for the idea, but hasn't really been pushing it publicly in any way. I think the interview Monday, he indicated, you know, yeah, I see a reason to do this, but again said, I'm going to let legislative caucus leaders tell me they're ready to go and then we'll do it. But he also said that right now it's looking like November is the most likely time for that to happen. There are some questions about how challenging it would be to wait until lawmakers come back for their regularly scheduled session in January to do that, because the filing deadline or the filing period for congressional seats and every other seat on the ballot next year opens up right at the beginning of January, not January 1st, but in that the second full week of January, the first full week of January. And that's about the same time that lawmakers would start their session. So while they could do it quickly if they suspend a lot of rules, although there's a question about, in order to suspend the rules to pass something like in a single day, for instance, in Indiana's legislature, whether in a special session or the regular session, you have to have 2/3 votes in both chambers. And I think there might be enough Republicans, at least in the House, who aren't comfortable with this, or maybe even oppose it outright, that you might struggle to have a full 2/3 of them, of the Republican vote, or of the chamber vote, to waive those rules. So you might have to take a few days in order to do it, essentially. And the problem with waiting till January to do that is the filing period opens, and now you have people filing to run in districts that could change dramatically after the lawmakers redraw the district lines. So I think they want to do it before then. It looks like November's the most likely time period.
We're talking about redistricting and whether state lawmakers in Ohio and Indiana will adopt new congressional maps to help the Republican Party gain more seats in Congress. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. You know, Andrew, Brandon was just talking there about how there is this concern or situation where there could be maps that aren't fully drawn or could change when the filing deadline comes about if this decision isn't made quickly or before January in Indiana. That sounds kind of familiar to me. Did Ohio go through some of that too?
So in the 2022 redistricting cycle, we had that problem. They really went down to the wire with the congressional maps, but they blew the deadline for the state legislative maps. A federal court ended up basically ordering Ohio to have a second election. It was really chaotic. Candidates or the parties failed to field candidates in a couple of districts where they should have been able to possibly even win. So then kind of taking things forward to the current situation. So the last backstop deadline in this process for congressional redistricting is November 30th. And that is too late for the maps to be in effect for the May election, because there's a 90-day period after which any kind of law is approved before it actually becomes law. So kind of moving it forward, if it were to be passed on November 30th, that would take effect in late February, and that would be after the filing deadline for the May election. So the way that Republicans could get around that is to pass a map in early November. I don't see why they wouldn't be able to do that, but then what may present itself would be the likelihood of litigation. There's the possibility that Democrats might try to organize a referendum campaign to repeal the map. Even just turning in a preliminary amount of signatures for that would effectively place the map on hold. So just kind of looking ahead to that prospect, I think it's very likely that that we're going to have some kind of complication with the map being approved on time for the election to be held.
We will continue this conversation after a short break, and later in the program, we'll discuss a new proposal that supporters say could lower utility bills for customers and reduce the strain on Ohio's electric grid. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our discussion on redistricting in Ohio and Indiana. My guests are Indiana Public Broadcasting State House Bureau Chief Brandon Smith and Signal Ohio reporter Andrew Tobias. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So, Brandon, how would Indiana Republicans need to change the congressional map to create more solidly Republican districts? And how many more seats for Republicans could they theoretically create?
Yeah, so Indiana has 9 congressional seats. 7 are currently held by Republicans. 2 are held by Democrats. And really the only way to take those democratically controlled seats, and really I should emphasize, so there's 9 seats. I would say 8 of them are not even close, either really solidly Republican or very solidly Democratic. The only one that in recent years has been slightly closer is the first congressional district, which is held by Democratic Congressman Frank Mervan. I believe that seat's been held by a Democrat for something like 100 plus years. But In the last regular round of redistricting at the beginning of this decade, they drew that map to try and make it a little more of a toss-up. But Mervan is still winning by 5-6 points in both of the elections he's run in 2022 and in 2024. So still held not as comfortably, but, you know, held by a Democrat. In order to change that district, and particularly the 7th congressional district, the other one held by a Democrat, which is Indianapolis, you have to split those urban centers. It would be a little easier to do in the 1st congressional district, which is Northwest Indiana. It's affectionately referred to as the region here in Indiana. that's a Democratic stronghold next to Chicago, and you'd kind of split that in two, arguably, give parts of it to other, you know, largely Republican-controlled Democratic or congressional seats around it. Indianapolis, one map that we've seen floated around is would split Indianapolis into three different seats. Basically, it would have tendrils coming in into the city core and split the city core into three or even sometimes four pieces, and then have the rest of the district flow out into more rural areas, which are obviously dominated by Republicans. If they do those things, they are at risk of a lot. Well, there's definitely going to be a lawsuit. And what they're at risk for is, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court a few years ago said partisan gerrymandering, where one party redraws seats in a seemingly unfair way to benefit them politically, that's totally okay with the U.S. Supreme Court. But so far, the still existing precedent is racial gerrymandering, not so okay. If you were drawing districts to weaken the power of certain racial groups, that has not so far flown with the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, I'm willing to bet that the current court and the way it's been making decisions for the last few years will sign off on whatever map Republicans draw in this country, and probably not Democratic ones. But at least on at least right now, as we sit here today, that is the route that I think folks filing lawsuits in Indiana against whatever this map ends up being will probably take. Is you're taking two of the most concentrated areas of minority voters, particularly Black voters, but also Hispanic voters, and you're splitting them up in a way that they feel is illegal. That's the route they'll take. Again, I wouldn't bet on them being successful given the current makeup of the Supreme Court, but that's the way they'll likely redraw those districts.
We've gotten a couple questions from listeners. Sharon called to ask, in Ohio, we have not seen a map that both sides approved since we voted to end gerrymandering in 2018 with issue one. Do we think a fair map is out the window? What do you think, Andrew?
I think that given the political climate, truly, I really thought this 3 years ago that both parties would be under such pressure to, whether it's the Republicans who control the state to get as many Republican districts as you can, or if it's the Democrats who are in the minority but are trying to hold out for a legal strategy where they can maybe get a court to strike down the maps and get something more along the lines of what they wanted. The incentives to do that were very strong and worked against the idea of making a deal. So like taking that situation to now where you have the leader of the Republican Party, who's the president of the United States, actively calling on Republicans to take extraordinary measures to add additional Republican districts. I just don't see a scenario where we won't see more Republican districts drawn in Ohio. So if it doesn't happen, I don't think it's likely to be a bipartisan agreement, but maybe, you know, Republicans may feel that the way that things work now are pretty good. Why change it? Or they might be motivated to, I guess, by their better angels to just try to not do weird things to make extra Republican districts, particularly looking at the first congressional district. So it's possible that they might decide to be restrained, but I think it's very unlikely they'll make a bipartisan deal.
And how many more Republican seats do you think the Republican majority could create in Ohio's congressional map, Andrew?
It would be pretty easy to take the 9th congressional district, which is anchored in Toledo and kind of extends west of the Indiana border and east to outside of the sort of greater Cleveland area. That district already is trending pretty solidly Republican. Marcy Kaptur, who's represented it for a long time, has managed to survive a couple of tough elections over the last 4 years. But she might lose just by natural political trajectory, but they could easily make it more Republican by dipping into the 5th congressional district, such as adding Henry County, which is one of the rural districts kind of in that area. So that would be easy. The other likely target is the 13th congressional district, which is basically anchored in the Akron area. And they could, there's a couple of Republican districts that touch on it that they could just easily switch things from some of the more heavily Republican districts into the less into the kind of toss up district to do that. So I think that would be things that would be very simple. And, you know, we can kind of debate whether the U.S. Supreme Court might look at a racial gerrymander differently than a political gerrymander. But something like that would be almost like legally uncontroversial for them to do that, if even if people don't like it politically.
We got an email from Janelle who writes, what would be the difficulty in trying to create a system that simply counted votes for federal senators, House seats, the president, and the governor without using districts, just simply counting the votes statewide? Brandon, of course, there are districts for the U.S. House. All those other offices that she mentioned are statewide offices. But what do you think? Is there any kind of massive change that could eliminate this question of maps and gerrymandering?
I mean, that would be a rattle. I mean, obviously, you know, U.S. senators are elected on a statewide basis, and there are some states in the union that only have a single U.S. House representative, Wyoming, I think Idaho, some of the smaller states, where you're essentially elected on a statewide basis. But I think that goes against the whole purpose of the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House, right? Which is the U.S. Senate, they were meant to represent their entire states, whereas in the U.S. House, you're meant to represent your districts, because it's the idea that, take Indiana for an example. Right now, the maps aren't that bad in terms of compactness. They keep communities of interest together for the most part. And, you know, but at the same time, on the statewide level, Republicans win in Indiana and have for the last decade plus on a fairly consistent basis by several points. That number seems to be increasing. So Democratic voters in a Republican-controlled state would essentially be disenfranchised entirely at the federal level if you elected everyone on a statewide basis. Similarly, there are Republicans elected in California and in Illinois and in New York and other states that vote for Democrats on a statewide basis, where those Republican voters would essentially be disenfranchised. They would have no voice of their own because they just lose all the time if you only elected people on a statewide level. So that would get rid of the problem of gerrymandering in the sense of district lines, but I think it opens up a very similar problem in a different way.
Andrew, let me ask you about this. In 2024, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine said if voters defeated a redistricting reform that was on that year's ballot, he would fight for a different redistricting reform plan. Where does that stand? Was he serious about reform?
Well, I can't read the governor's mind and whether he was serious when he said that, but kind of judging things a year later, he's taken no active steps to... Well, so the one thing he can do is ask the legislature to place a reform measure on the ballot. That's essentially what happened in 2018 that gave us the system that we have now. The parties at that time came to a deal on those rules, and they kind of both parties endorsed them and wrote them together. So DeWine could do that again. I don't think that Republicans, given how confident they are, likely to concede anything. So then the alternate path in Ohio would be to get something on the ballot. And that's what DeWine said that he would do. But that involves collecting 430 plus thousand signatures from a certain number of counties around the state. That often takes a lot of money. And DeWine, to my knowledge, has not made any serious calls about raising money for something like that. When I asked him about it recently, he said that he determined that he couldn't raise the money to do that. So I would not hold my breath waiting for Mike DeWine to try to spearhead something like that to put it on the ballot. Whether some other group decides to step into the breach, that's another question.
Well, we're getting short on time, but Brandon, voter advocates delivered petitions to the Indiana State House opposing this mid-cycle redistricting plan. There's been polling on the issue in Indiana. Where does the public stand on this?
I mean, if you believe the polling, then a majority of Hoosier voters don't want them to redraw the districts this year or, you know, mid-cycle. But I don't think Republicans are listening to a majority of Hoosier voters. I think they are, first of all, you can question whether a poll actually captures how Hoosiers are feeling. Secondly, I think they would argue that, you know, they're really listening to their base, which is, you know, most Republican state lawmakers in this state don't have to worry about general election challenges. They have to worry about primary election challenges because the state is so solidly Republican. By the way, the same is true for most of the Democratic state lawmakers. So they're really listening to the core of their voters, and I think they believe that the core of their voters support President Trump and whatever he wants. And so if this is what President Trump wants, then that's what they're going to deliver.
Any sense for what the people in Ohio want or think, Andrew?
Well, like I said, it's a little different because this redistricting was supposed to happen, but we did have that redistricting reform measure on the ballot last year. It was thought to be...
You know what? I shouldn't have asked you that because I got to cut you off. I've been talking with Signal Ohio reporter Andrew Tobias and Indiana Public Broadcasting State House Bureau Chief Brandon Smith. Thank you both so much for your time today. Stay tuned. Cincinnati Edition, there's more coming up.